Welcome to Let's Plant Houses, the podcast where we talk about some incredible families' journeys. I'm your host, Wendy Ernson. Whether you're a parent, a caregiver, or simply seeking to understand more about this journey, you're in the right place. So today, I have Tracy joining us on the show. So thank you so much for being here.
Hi there, Wendy. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it so much. So excited.
I am too. So Tracy, I was just going to get right into it if you'd like.
Yeah.
So why don't we just start by telling the listeners a little bit about your family?
Oh boy. So I've been married to my husband, Steve, for 26 years now.
Congratulations.
I know. Thank you. I was amazed after COVID and that little block there. I thought we were going on 25 this year, so I'm already getting confused with that. But so Steve and I have been married that long, and we have two sons, Spencer and Grant, and Spencer's 22 and he has Asperger's syndrome. And then we have Grant, who's 19, neurotypical, but, you know, not the word used today.
He's your average kid.
He's average kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing. So you said that Spencer has autism.
Right.
I'm sorry, he has Asperger's.
Yes.
And so when was he diagnosed?
So our journey started... He wasn't diagnosed till he was three. That started us on the path of being diagnosed when we went to the pediatrician appointment.
Yep.
Before that, we knew something was going on, but my husband nor I had experience ever raising kids.
Yeah, it's your first child.
I didn't babysit much. Like, we didn't know. We just kind of adapted, and I think that might have really been a good thing because the way he communicated with us, a lot of it was like finger leading and pointing at objects or, you know, kind of tantruming. But we found ways to communicate that worked. And I think maybe, I mean, I guess if we knew he had autism, we probably would have worked with it too. But,
sure.
But we didn't know. So we just kind of did what we needed to do because we were all about having a kid and we loved him so much. And, you know, you do anything. So he was very bright and very unique. So we first went to the pediatrician for his three-year-old checkup. And that's when she noticed the peculiar inability to have a conversation with her, his repetitiveness, the echolalia. And so she was immediately like, she said she thought it might be autism.
Okay.
And that she wanted to refer us to the school district.
Yep.
I didn't understand then what that all meant and was about, but that was our next step. So then we went through the process of evaluation, and he got put into a special education
school. So the school did the evaluation?
They did.
Okay.
And from there, then we went to the Beaumont, I think it was called the Hope Center.
Yep.
Center for Human Development, one of those, and had evaluation by a team of different doctors.
Oh, that's good.
Yep, and then we saw neurologists and cardiologists. We had a lot of seizures. We had a lot of issues going on when he was younger. So he also has a form of Tourette's.
Okay.
Like just, I mean, we never really labeled it that way, and we still don't, but that's what it is. I mean, he's had tics since he was little to where it impairs his functioning. You know, he had a hard time sleeping through the night because he... you know, be awake for like 4 hours.
Like awake
thinking,
himself up.
Having, like he couldn't fall asleep. Like he just have these, his hand clenches. It'd make a fist like against his mouth and his thumb would have a huge callus just from rubbing.
Okay.
You know, sometimes he punched in the air. He would pace back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like all those little abnormal tendencies, he definitely had them all.
Okay. So it's almost like he had like bursts of energy when he was sleeping and would, you know, it would come out in that way.
Yeah, he just couldn't sleep. He would just lay in bed and tick and tick and tick. And it was pretty sad because when he got to be school age, you know, here he is having a hard time sleeping.
And then
he has to be up for, absolutely.
Like anyone would be.
Like anyone would be.
Yeah, and so I'm sure that probably made it rough for him to be at school sometimes.
So from there we went through, then it was like, oh my goodness, like, okay, we can tackle this. What do we need to do? You know, aside from school, we... went to Judson Center. We went where we saw a Dan Doctor. They used to be called the Defeat Autism Now Doctors, where we went through the gluten-free, casein-free diet trials. Those didn't work for us. He had the B12 shots, made him completely hyperactive out of his mind to where he was like telling me he didn't feel right, and his behavior just like escalated.
Yeah, to, like it was just too much.
Out of control. Yeah. So like we were trying all the different protocols and the gut balancing and supplements and all that stuff. And then we went to Kauffman Center where they diagnosed him hyperlexia.
Okay.
Because he was an early reader.
And there was like a speech, that's a speech and language center, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was having speech and OT there. And then she diagnosed him with that, which just kind of, it just means you're an early reader. But he, his development was so peculiar because he didn't have the ability, I mean, he could speak words here and there, but he didn't really, he didn't have any ability to have conversation. But yet he could read, and it was almost as though the reading has been such a crutch for him through life.
Okay.
At least for many, many years till everything kind of turned and evened out for him where his thinking just kind of rationalized, or I don't know if that's the right word. But so he would read books and, like, repeat a lot of the dialogue.
Oh, wow. So he would remember it.
Or he'd watch cartoons and have dialogues. And when he would pace, I'd say, what are you thinking about? Because he would laugh. And like punch up in the air, you know, having the tics. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, he'd tell me he's seeing a movie in his head.
Yeah, like it's in his mind.
It's just so interesting. It's so different. So he couldn't speak, but he could read.
Right.
Where like other kids could speak, but they can't read. Like that's something. That it was just the weirdest thing that he could literally just read.
And like no one was teaching him. He just knew how to do it.
Yeah.
That is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I remember going to the neurologist and he's just like, He's like, genius. This kid is amazing. Like, he'd give him, like, serious books. And my son just opened it and read it to him. And he's, like, three. And he's like, holy smokes, you know, this is unheard of.
Right.
That's when we really started, like, through all these therapies and just we started learning more about the autism, what's going on with him, because we didn't have any understanding.
Well, I mean,
we were trying to learn and do everything we could. So.
Yeah.
It was a journey.
Well, and he's 22.
He's 22 today.
Yeah. So if you think about what it was like when he was born. I mean, there were kids, obviously, that had autism, but not that many.
Yeah.
Not compared to what we have now.
No,
and so there weren't the
so
resources.
Different.
There weren't, you know, all the knowledge and information out there. So it's not a surprise as a parent. How would you know?
Yeah. And
right?
it was really shocking when he was diagnosed. You know, it was like, like, how are we that? Like, it's like winning the lottery that you don't want to win. You know, you're just like, how are we that one out of 66? Or maybe it was like 140 or something.
Yeah,
like
I think it was a lot higher then.
Yeah.
But now it's like one in 34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a whole nother episode.
That's a whole. Right.
So when he was diagnosed, so you said like he had all of these different things that were going on that you noticed.
Yeah.
So, but now you had a name for it.
Right.
So how did your life change at all, or did anything?
So, I mean, the way we communicate, we were trying therapies all the time, that kind of stuff. But absolutely, life changed because now, like poor his little brother Grant was just always in tow because it's like, okay, we got to go to this therapy. We got to go here. There's an event going on here for autistic kids. Like we're going to do everything and, you know, like submerge his interests. Because the thing about my son Spencer is he developed very zoned in preferences and likings and behavior, and he would read things like he liked whales.
Like very specific interests.
Whales, loved whales. Then eventually it went to dolphins and then sharks and then penguins, and like it just grew into like all the animals of the world. This kid knows like everything.
And he has all the facts, figures, and we're, you know, all
so
the things
smart.
About them. Yeah.
So smart. So yeah, life definitely changed and was a challenge. And also we were going through the school process and he was put in an inclusive secluded classroom for kids with autism.
Yep.
And that was really tough. And our IEP team was extremely, like, horrific.
Oh.
We had the worst experience because I didn't know anything about autism. Hey. I didn't know what an IEP was.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in a room with, like,
10 people.
Probably 10 people or more tell me all this stuff. And you almost feel like you don't know what to believe or not believe. And I didn't have any guidance.
And you're overwhelmed.
And it got to where, like, I wasn't agreeing with things. Mm-hmm. So there are attorneys in there. There's superintendents in there. And they're very intimidating.
Yeah.
It was a horrific experience. So that was a hard thing because I felt like Spencer was very smart.
Yep.
But he, school wasn't working for him. And, right. and I eventually pulled him out of that program because it was a nightmare. And
it wasn't the right fit.
There were a lot of reasons. Yeah, it was not
I'm sure
a
maybe
good
for some kids mm-hmm. that might have been the right environment. Yeah. But for your student,
yeah.
I mean, you and as a parent, that's you're going to advocate for the best
that's
experience because that's how he's going to get the most out of his educational experience.
Yeah, exactly.
So congratulations to you that you were able to do that because that's
yeah.
hard.
And to be aware of that. Because
well, to know enough to ask those questions.
Yeah, yeah. and to actually do it,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
it was very, you know, even the withdrawal process, not you know, like withdrawal from school. That was a process.
Well, he still had friends or it's an environment. He
yeah.
was getting used to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
He went from loving going to school, excited to get on the bus, till, you know, a few months later, it was, like, horrific. He was scared to death to go in the classroom. He was scared to go to school. He was refusing, and he wasn't able to tell me why. He was crying, no.
It's heartbreaking. You know?
Yeah, so it's hard when your kid comes home and you're like, how was your day today?
Yeah.
And they can't tell you.
Oh,
so that was hard because then when he was like refusing to go to school, you're like, what the heck is going on?
Exactly.
Like, no. So that just started a whole crusade of where I'm like, this kid needs to be at school. He's very bright. He's mm-hmm. sweet. Mm-hmm. Like school should be very positive.
You're right.
Shouldn't be this negative, horrific feeling that now I see him refusing to go.
Right.
So that was a real difficult time. I was out every night on the internet.
Yeah.
Trying to connect with parents that had children like mine, you know, just like mine.
Right.
No, can't find them anywhere. You know, you
right.
find other parents, but they're not going through the same, not the same with the IEP, but going through the same, like, issues that my son had.
Right.
You know, like, you're just kind of
or even
you're
in
looking
that
to
moment.
Connect.
Right. So,
yeah.
like, even in that moment of when you're experiencing it.
Yeah. Very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, I kept him out of school a couple of years, and I was just like, when he goes back to school, we are going to have, like, I am going to be ready for this IEP.
So did you guys homeschool then for a couple of years?
Yeah, but this was, like, four-year-old, five-year-old.
Oh, I got you.
I kept him home from kindergarten
yeah.
because it wasn't compulsory till
yep.
6 years old to be in school. So, yeah, for that time, he was home, and, like, I was getting prepared.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to figure this out. I am not going through a nightmare
ever. So what happened next?
So we went on to a charter school in Sterling Heights called Huron Academy.
Okay.
And they were wonderful. And we had a really great IEP meeting. And I was so prepared. And it was so nice to walk in with that confidence.
Yeah.
And to have the IEP team, they all were like, wow, I can't believe how organized you are. I can't believe how ready you
yeah.
are. You know, and I was thinking, like, you don't know what I've been through.
Right.
Like, I'll never go through that again.
Right.
Like, he deserves to have a good experience at school. He's smart. He needs to be here. And I always love school. So I'm like, he needs to have a good time. Like, school shouldn't be horrific for any child, you
right.
know? And unfortunately, sometimes it is, you know?
Yep. I can get that. I mean, we move schools for
yeah.
the same reason. And
yeah.
this isn't my story today, so we're not going to get into it. But the point is, I completely empathize with your situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, after being in a 15-hour IEP at one point.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard. And now being able to step back from it, the thing I will say about it is, you know, not every district has all the resources it requires for what a lot of our kids
right.
need. And it's such a hard, it's a hard thing to find. It's a hard balance. It really
it,
is.
It is. I mean, it is.
Because you know the teachers want to teach.
The struggle is real on their side.
Yes.
It is.
It is. It's really hard. And the thing is, I don't know if the school districts were ever prepared for the number of children
yeah.
that require this level of resources at an individual
right.
level, right?
right?
With just different needs.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody could have predicted that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big challenge
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's a huge strain on the school districts.
Yeah. And
for
real. I don't even know they know how to...
Right. Yeah. And it's just more and more kids.
That's right.
It's like mind-boggling.
Yes. I mean, 1 in 34, we just said just for autism. That's not all
yeah.
kids. That's not all kids with
right.
intellectual developmental
no.
disabilities. And not all the kids are in special education.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah,
it's tough. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing all of this and all of what was happening in the schools, and this doesn't have to be about the schools, but it
right.
could be.
Yeah.
So the thing that I like to highlight on this show is if you found that there was a plant a house moment, so a moment when you felt or you and your husband felt as parents
mm-hmm.
that you had to make the impossible possible for Spencer.
Yeah.
Can you recall one of those moments and, you know, would you be able to share it?
For sure. One of those moments would be with the school and the whole IEP thing that I just discussed.
Yeah.
For sure, because that was so stressful. And there was another moment, too, that I realized you feel so alone on this journey.
You do.
Not just family. Friends disappear because I'm sure, you know, they don't know what to say or, like, they feel like, oh, they're busy, I'll leave them be.
Right.
And then your family gives the well-meaning advice that you don't want.
Right.
You know, like, it just comes out wrong and you're offended by it and, you know, like, they don't fully understand. And, nope. You know, so that whole experience, I think, is very common along probably every parent, you know, of a special needs child. So that's a tough thing. But that plant the house moment was realizing that my husband had to get up and work every day.
Yep.
Like I felt so alone. I felt like he's not doing this either. But I really quickly wrapped my brain around changing that mindset to respecting my husband, that he worked so I could be home, so I could take care of my son, so I can take him to therapy. I was lucky to have that.
Right.
And he supported the situation different. So I had to become the researcher. I had to do all the work.
So you guys were a team.
We were
a team. Different roles, and you're trying to figure out what those roles were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really coming to respect and appreciate that he was working instead of feeling abandoned and like he doesn't care. Of course he cares.
Right.
You know, but he had to count on me to do, like, my share of the pool.
Right.
And when he would come home from work, he would be all about the kids. You know, that's his, like, life and enjoyment and fun. And it just, like, he knew I needed a break.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long day.
Yeah.
And he just had a long day at work, so.
Right.
You know, it's a team effort, and it's not easy. And sadly, it tears a lot of families apart, too. So
I agree with you. I mean, having that realization and know-how, not know-how, but having that realization and moment and being able to step back and acknowledge that while it's happening is really hard to do.
It's hard.
It's really hard to do. And it is wonderful because, like, you just reflected, like, at the very beginning of our conversation about how long you guys have been married.
Yeah.
I mean, I dare say that, like, I think the divorce rate is, it's higher than
it's high.
Yeah, so it's... So, like, let's say it's 50% of an average couple for kids that have, or for parents that have children with special needs. I think it's like 60 or 70%. It's really high.
It's so because sad.
Because you're making
so
all
hard.
These really critical decisions.
Right.
And like you had just said, whose role is it today? Like, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? That's really hard to do to decide that. And then you're like, you know, who's going to take on which part?
Mm-hmm.
So that I have a tremendous amount of respect for you that you guys were able to figure that out. That's amazing.
Yeah, I guess we did without even really realizing it. It was just what we had to do, and it was me having to come to a realization, like, he's not abandoned me. I'm not alone in this, but he does have to get up early, and he goes to work, and I appreciate that. So that was, and when he'd come home, it was, you know, we did so much for our kids. It was fun.
Right.
It's such a magical, special time that you just don't get back. Mm-hmm. Like, we now in hindsight, you know, my kids are 19 and 22, and you just look back like, so precious.
That's amazing for you guys.
Yeah.
I love that. So you had mentioned a few of the supports as he grew up, but as he got a little bit even older.
Yeah.
So what supports do you think were really helpful to him as he, because, you know, as he was a teenager and, or even before that?
So we had a few things that were, I was willing to, like, try anything, as long as it was safe, you know, to help my child.
Yeah, but you would try something new and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of those, I was referred to a chiropractor in Ferndale, Dr. Bridget Bowler, and I went to go see her because I was just like, I'm not going to take my kid and be cracked and snapped and, like, I'm not doing that. That's crazy.
Right.
Well, finally... Another person recommended the same chiropractor, and I was like, maybe I should try this.
Okay.
Go and see her. And mind you, she's magical. She's not your average chiropractor. She's special. Anyways, she adjusted my son. He literally got up off the table talking.
Was he not talking before?
Barely.
Oh, wow.
It was echolalia. It was very... Not full sentences.
Okay.
Just like tantrums, you know, pointing, crying.
How old was he then?
I think it was probably four and a couple months.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. So, and she was great because some chiropractors are like, you need to come 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, garbage. She's like, we're going to do this adjustment. He can come back in a week. Then he comes back in a month. And then I see him monthly or unless there's something. So
sure.
She, it was so amazing. And we laugh because I remember this time we were in the car and we're at the gas station. And Spencer would always, we have to go to, I think it was like BP. And he'd say, green gas, green gas. Like that was like his mindset he was caught up on.
Yeah.
So we're in the car and we're getting the green gas. But then he was reading signs, talking, and we just looked at each other. And I was like, remember when he couldn't talk? Like, this kid doesn't stop. Like, he just has, like, he just talks for the sake of talking. He's still like that.
I wonder if at the moment he was, like, so excited to have to be able to share those
express
words.
Express himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that went, we went through a year of challenges with the adjustments, not because of the adjustments, but like he went through a whole streak of speech, what's that, stuttering?
Okay.
Severe stuttering.
Wow.
As his body, she said, like, he's going to go through, like, this, his body has to, like, come back to, you know, like, reality or whatever, you know, because whatever is caught up. And he would stutter like 30 times on one word, da 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 da. You know, like, mm-hmm. It was so prolonged, the stuttering. You're like, oh, just spit it out,
right?
Like you lose your patience, you know. I mean, but that took some time, and just eventually it faded away, and you know, and that it took still a while. He's still very preoccupied, you know, to try to have a conversation, and he'd start, you know, no matter what you're talking about, like he'd talk about whales or Thomas the Train or
right.
whatever, like, was on his mind, his little thing that he was hooked on, you know, like that's all you would hear, but he was able to talk in sentences.
Okay.
So there was progress.
So it wasn't like he was just repeating what he'd heard.
Yeah.
Or what he'd read. Instead he was...
It kind of was for a while, but... Yeah, I kind of look at it like he had very circular talk.
Okay.
And I just look, as he's gotten older, that circle has grown bigger and bigger and bigger to where now it almost, the edges are faded and he kind of, you don't notice it much.
Mm-hmm. Because he has so many things to share.
Yeah. So, and another support that helped was Juice Plus.
Okay.
That was, it's just a whole food supplement.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 9th grade and... He wanted to be on the quiz bowl team. And
okay.
I was thinking, oh, he doesn't even respond to his name. You know, you say Spencer, 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 100 times, you know.
Right.
Until you're like in his face, Spencer. And then he's like, what? Like, he didn't even hear y'all. And maybe he didn't, you know. So it's like that auditory processing
yep.
issue going on. But that was like his whole life. But with the Juice Plus, we started seeing this change. Like, I'd say Spencer, and he'd be like, what? On the first time, and we're like,
what's
what?
Happening here? Yeah.
Yeah. So that I was scared to death. So he wanted to do quiz bowl, and I'm thinking, okay, this is like Jeopardy, push the button, say the answer. Like, he doesn't have that capability to, like, he has the knowledge, but he doesn't have the ability to
right.
speak fast.
Right.
So, I mean, it just coincided, happened that we started taking the Juice Plus around then. And so I'm like, okay, you can do quiz bowl if this is what you want to do. I told the teacher what his situation was, and, you know, she's like, I don't know, but we can try. Well, he ended up doing so good. He was pushing that button and saying the answers. He was amazing. He, like, won districts for the whole team. He was the only kid who could really answer stuff because he, like, knew the craziest things would come out of his head. Like, how do you know that? I mean, he'd read, you know. So he was a reader, like,
right.
voracious.
Right.
But you think he don't remember that. You know?
So when's he going on Jeopardy?
I know. He actually one time applied for Kids Jeopardy and got a little way through the process and didn't make it all the way. But those two supports were very pivotal. And then there were some homeopathic medicines.
Mm-hmm.
There's this company called Native Remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something called like social fear relief.
Oh, okay.
You know, like these things for they would have for kids with autism, like specific remedies.
Sure.
And they did different things that helped him too, just seemed to make him have the capability to like socialize or talk or
so wouldn't have as much anxiety, like social anxiety
oh, yeah.
when he's around people.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, cause you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I feel like the study of what our kids are going through, Again, because it didn't seem like there were quite as many people before, and now there are so many people that there hasn't been that much research because, you know, our kids are 20 years, you know, both of my daughter's 21, your son's 22. Mm-hmm. 20 years is not that long, mm-mm. right? And mm-hmm. so I don't, you know, there could be lots of things that, whether it be, like you said, if it's supplements, if it's, who's to say they don't have, like, maybe their body doesn't process certain mm-hmm. things in a certain way, so they need extra nutrition.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you'd mentioned the adjustment he had. Well, maybe the, you know, the brain stem that goes all the way up to your brain isn't quite aligned when he was born and when by getting the adjustment it was.
Yeah.
So you just don't know.
Yeah. In fact, in first grade, he was wearing pull-ups. Like he, mm-hmm. he like didn't have that feeling to have to go to the bathroom to like immediately.
Yeah.
So he, the chiropractor though, said there was some nerve that was, you know, so when she adjusted him, like that got better too. So
that's amazing. That was,
yeah. We were like, oh, this kid's never going to learn. So, so it was great. Yeah. Found a lot of good stuff.
So with all the things that are going on with him, so what is he doing now?
So now he, so first I should say real quick that he had a business. Mm-hmm. He just sold it to his brother.
And what's it called?
The Expedition Soap Company.
Oh, that's so cute.
Started it when he was 15, mm-hmm. Just selling a few bars of soap at craft shows. Now he's like a phenomenon almost. The company's gone bonkers, and it's been really exciting. A lot of opportunities in the press and interviews, and he likes to be a public speaker now for autism, which he speaks very well. And he now is working, though. He sold the company to his brother. He has his accounting degree from Oakland University.
Wow.
So now he's working at Oakland University in accounting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he wanted to use his degree, you know.
I mean, he's already had two careers, and he's 22.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, and he benefited so much from the soap company, and we've done over 150 craft shows. So like he'd start off, and when he was younger, you're like, oh, I can't talk to these people, mom.
Yeah,
like the anxiety. And by the end of it, you know, he's talking to everyone, and like this, so it helped his social skills so much. You know, it was like just so many different experiences with interviews and such. It was really just a great time, great family time to have those moments together, you know, to mm-hmm. grow and experience and learn together about entrepreneurship. I think giving him those skills for the rest of his life.
Well, being an entrepreneur, anyone, I think, is incredible, and mm-hmm. sounds like it created even more benefits for Spencer.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's got, and it sounds like he also was able to figure out what he really wanted to do or what he wanted to do next.
Yeah, exactly. And he likes to travel. He did study abroad when he was at Oakland University in Spain, and he wants to go back to Europe and like backpack Europe. Like he has a dream of doing that. So
I love that. Why shouldn't he? He should be able to just, it's his ability to discover his dreams and then be able to fulfill them. That's
right.
It's incredible.
Right. Yeah, he's had an incredible road of recovery, and his story from how autistic he presented as a child and all the traits and difficulties, his journey has definitely just been amazing to be where he is today. It's really great.
So I guess with your knowledge and experience of mm-hmm. being on this journey with him.
Yes.
So how are you sharing what you've learned with others?
Well, again, I spoke about the IEP. Mm-hmm. Now, I started a company called the IEP Advantage, where I teach parents how to get fully prepared, informed, and empowered for their IEP meetings. So I transformed parents into IEP parents.
I love that.
Yeah, I have a whole course, mm-hmm. and it walks parents handheld, step by step, nice and easy, to learn IEP meeting prep. So no parent ever has to go through the horrific experiences that I had to.
I'm so glad that you're doing that. I'll make sure that we share some information also out.
Yeah.
But for you all listening, please check out the IEP Advantage, because it sounds like whether it's for you or someone that you know, mm-hmm. I think that's really important information, because I wish I had had it.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, right? Every parent could use it.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. This has been incredible, and you know, just giving us, just sharing about your story, because there's so much for us to learn.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Spencer's doing great, and it sounds like we know that he has some incredible parents. So
thank you so much
for sharing.
That's so
that.
Sweet.
I know that this is going to inspire others, so thank you.
I hope so.
I do. I I know it will. For those of you who are listening in, thank you again for joining us. And I also hope you'll consider subscribing, leaving a review, or sharing this podcast with others who may find it meaningful. And join us next time on Let's Plant Houses. Take care.